This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You had mentioned the crochet deal, and talking to Garrett yesterday, he said that he did not want to negotiate once opening day started, which is something. When you make that trade, what's your view of a possible extension?
Well, we would obviously love to have him a part of the organization for a long time. We've seen a little glimpse of what hopefully is to come. So he and his family need to decide if Boston where they want to be, and as three of us know, it's not for everybody, but I think given his mindset and makeup, he'll have a lot of success here if that's what he chooses. So we are making it a priority to try and extend a lot of our own players that are currently under control, and he would fit into that category. So excited about conversations there, but we also don't want to push too hard and rush it if it's not the right time for him.
So let's add this story to everything going on out there in a busy time.
Really?
Here on Jones and Keefe. Celtics have a new owner, Steph Diggs visiting New England. We'll update both of those coming up. But real quick,
Wanted to watch my college basketball. Just wanted to enjoy some college hoops, and it's the fifth story down.
All I wanted to do was sit here and watch my bracket, and that has been
out the window.
That has been punted down. If you missed any of Keith's bracket or my bracket, we'll hit them again at noon. They'll be up on social at Jones and Keefe. You can vote in the Jones and Keefe March Madness uniform bracket as well there. But real quick, Sam Kennedy yesterday on the Red Sox broadcast, with Brad Foam. We'll talk to Brad Foam coming up about 20 minutes from now. At 11:30, he joins us every Thursday at 11:30. It sounded to me like he put it on Garrett Crochet.
Yeah,
no?
I don't love that.
Like, well, we want him. It's up to him and his family.
Yeah, but how much are you gonna offer him? Like, that's the biggest thing here. Like, well, it's really up to him. Like, if he likes Boston, he's like, I know everybody doesn't like Boston. And you're like, well, maybe check with him first before you make a big trade for him. Like, I think he would like Boston quite a bit if you made him the highest paid or one of the highest paid pitchers in baseball. Are you willing to go to that? So putting it all on the player is rough, right? Because this is the same top of the front office that's like, well, I guess John Lester didn't want to be here.
Correct.
It's like, well, you offered him peanuts. Now, I know they're not going to make that same mistake again and offer like such a below market value. But if they're not offering anything really enticing, there's no reason for Crochet to take it. But I'm then not going to say he doesn't want to be here. Like, no, he might want to be here. He just wants to get paid what he's worth. And that's why yesterday I came to the conclusion that I think the Red Sox are a little afraid to dish out a ton of money on this guy because of, you know, all the big pitchers that they have spent that have certainly not lived up to their contracts, and mostly because of injury. Sometimes they just weren't great or whatever. And then if you're Crochet, you might say, if I pitch really well this year, have my first full healthy season, I can make more than whatever they're offering me right now. So even though the Red Sox might have to pay more in the long run, it might make sense for both to feel better about it next year at this time than, say, right now.
So we'll talk about this with Brad Foe coming up at 11:30. Sam Kennedy putting it on Garrett Crochet. What does Crochet want? How far are the Red Sox willing to extend themselves? Never mind who's the opening day second baseman? Who's the closer? Who's going to be your opening day third baseman? I think we know that's going to be Alex Bregman. Is Devers happy about it? All that with Brad Foe coming up at 11:30. I would chalk that up as a must listen here today on a very, very busy day. Just catching up on the news again. It's been a bit since we've read it. Celtics have a new owner. His name is William Chisholm. I like to call him Bill Chisholm. I feel like we're on that.
Bill Chisholm.
First name basis.
Yeah.
They agreed, the Grosbecks agreed to sell the team to William Chisholm, managing director and co-founder of Symphony Technology Group. A league source told the Globe on Thursday. It was for $6.1 billion, by the way. That's the largest agreement in North American sports history. Chisholm, Dartmouth graduate, grew up in Georgetown, Mass., longtime Celtics fan. Symphony Technology Group, STG, is a California-based private equity firm. Wick is going to stay on as the governor through the transition. It was expected the first 51% would be sold to a majority holder. William Chisholm, there's another group in there. What were they called? Sixth Street?
Yeah, Sixth Street, I think.
Are ponying up $1 billion. They own a number of other professional sports franchises, including the San Antonio Spurs, or part owners anyway, FC Barcelona and Real Madrid.
Okay, right.
So there's that. A few other items to catch you up to speed again is from Himmelsbach in the Globe. He says a source close to William Chisholm, his wife, said the new Celtics owner intends to buy a home in Boston.
All right.
So the price is on.
They're going up. Good luck.
He's from here. I kind of thought he might have already had a home here, but nope. New home.
No.
So again, as I said earlier, there goes Drew Holiday.
He's a California guy.
He watches every game, and he has an encyclopedic knowledge of the team.
That'll come in handy.
Also, the new ownership group includes Celtics minority owner Robert Hale. So my antenna went up when I read that. I'm like, Rob Hale is in, which is great.
Yeah.
You listeners to this station and the Greg Hill Show should be very familiar with Rob Hale. He does great work in the community. A generous, generous individual. Mm-hmm. Greg, Chris call him the most generous individual they know.
Probably.
And so I think that's a good thing. Yeah. But I noticed the omission of Steve Pagliuca's name.
Well, no, he had something else.
Steve Pagliuca's statement was wild. He put this out on Twitter in the last 15, 20 minutes, whatever it was.
Yeah.
He claims that he felt anyway they had the best offer. We have felt it was the best offer to buy the Celtics, and is a bit of true fans deeply connected to Boston's community, and we've been saddened to find out we have not been selected in the process. So this ownership group, they're not true fans.
Right.
They're not connected to the community.
And maybe they didn't have the best offer.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
We made a fully guaranteed and financed offer. Textline pointed this out. How is it both of those? It's fully guaranteed and financed with no debt. I don't understand that.
I don't know. I don't understand this world.
It was at a record price, befitting the best sports fans in the world, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so there is nuance there. It could be a
That's
record
what
price,
I think.
But not the best price.
Like, I think it would have been a record price, meaning it was higher than what the Commanders went for to Josh Harris. That's his claim there.
But less than what Chisholm paid
for. But he's being tricky with it.
Yeah.
I think he's being less than truthful with that. We financed it at a record price. It doesn't beat this offer. We feel like we had the best offer.
But you toss this into the waters.
Even though they didn't.
You know that a lot of fans don't like change, and they're like, all right, this would be the least amount of change. So fans that wanted me, you sort of talk yourself up a little bit in this sense. But the line that really gets me.
No, this is good.
It's wild at the end, because then he has a thing in about, like, you know, you
I'll
have to thank everybody.
Celtic, that?
Yeah, all this stuff. And then he's like, and if the announced transaction does not end up being finalized, my partners and I are ready to check back into the game and bring it home. Like, what is that? But like, yeah, I know there's a lot of reporting right now about $6.1 billion, but if you guys, you know, can't cross all the T's and dot all the I's, just, you know, call us back.
It is legitimately like your ex is about to get married. She's going down the aisle the next day, and you're like,
not
you know,
him.
If it doesn't work out with that guy, yeah. I'm still here. That's literally what it is.
You have another option. Like, no, dude, We're making the biggest deal in North American history. Like, I think we're good here.
What time does Duke play today? I don't know if Pags has ever mentioned this, Keith. I know you and I have interviewed him
Holy
in the past.
Smokes.
I don't know if Pags has ever mentioned he went to Duke.
Robert Kraft saying he was a fan of the team versus Steve Pagliuca saying he went to Duke.
Wait, I forget. Did he go to Duke or did his kid go to Duke? I think both.
Okay, I think his kid went to Duke. His kid actually was on the end of the bench on the Tatum team, right?
What time does Duke play today? Like, my only point is, you know, maybe you text your ex late where you're like, if it doesn't work out with that guy, let me know.
That's true.
Maybe Pags is starting early today.
They might be tomorrow. Duke,
oh, they're tomorrow.
I think.
Okay.
Let me double check. Yeah, Duke's tomorrow, 2:50.
Oh, okay. Starting real early.
Yeah, Mount St. Mary's.
Okay. Me and Pags are aligned on this one. I got Duke cutting down the nets as well.
Wow.
Bold.
Out on a limb.
Bold, I know. Buddy of mine texted me, by the way.
Brag.
He's a Celtics season ticket owner.
Yeah.
Brag.
Oh, wow.
Sick brag, bro.
Jones was a Celtics season ticket holder?
He said immediate
no chicken hat guy.
Immediate reaction to the news.
Is it Balcony Gino?
This is the guy. This is the guy I texted the other night when I said I just gave my hat to chicken hat guy.
Joe's was texting with Aztec Gino, his friend that owns Celtics season tickets.
Great.
What does he have to say?
Immediate reaction to the Celtics news. I like it. He's a Mass native and a Celtics fan. Private equity is scary, though. I've seen this a bunch on the text line. And
yeah, why?
Well, not that that was going to be any different with Pags, I don't think, although Pags has been, you know, at least part owner of the team before. But private equity is scary because it's all about the bottom line. It's all about turning a profit. And it's all about
so would you rather
making money at all costs.
Would you have rather had Bezos than this guy?
I mean, me, yes. I would. Mm. I would rather. I don't really care about the local thing. I'd rather have the most deep-pocketed guy.
Yeah,
but
as long as they have the right mindset for it, as long as they're willing to, you know, eat the luxury tax for a few years when you know you're competing for championships. Because I'm not naive enough to say like always spend way more than anybody else and like just keep smashing over that, even like your team's losing. Like, no, you can't do it that way. And yeah, they're in it to make money, but you can't take a title contender and like blow it up. Like, that would just be insane. I mean, it's possible. It could happen, but I don't know why you would buy it to do that immediately, because I think part of the thrill, and also part of maybe what you would even call like an overpay for right now, is the team is at the top. So you're not just buying 18 championships. You're buying the team that's the best in the NBA right now. So like, don't you want to continue that for as long as you can? Which, who knows how long that's going to last?
No, it's a fair point. I guess I understand some concern about private equity in that way, and they're worried about the bottom line,
yeah,
and they're worried about turning a profit, and if they're going to be building a new stadium because that's the best way to make money, how are they going to finance that? I know the guy's rich, but how are they going to finance that? Are they going to have to do that by peeling off pieces on the roster? I get that. Meanwhile, Ramona Shelburne passed this along. Whit Grosbeck has a statement.
Statement City today.
I was not trying to do a lot of reading on the start of the tournament today.
I was
trying
doing
to do this.
Writing on my bracket. Now I'm doing reading. It's like I'm in middle school again. All right, what do we got?
Whit Grosbeck said in a statement, and I am trying to find the statement. I don't think I'm on the Celtics mailing list these
days. I think I may have been removed from that as well. Is he
the new Celtics owner? William Chisholm has asked me to run the team as CEO and governor for the first 3 years and stay on as his partner. I am glad to do so. So, Keith, I think this answers your question earlier. Nick, you're shaking your head back there.
So he's not leaving?
Well, that's his claim. That's his statement.
I think, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe it's easy to just say that and then phase him out.
So Bill buys a house in Boston.
But to answer your question, Keith, who's getting the trophy first? It might still be Wick.
Or do they awkwardly both grab it?
I'm not leaving!
This is going to be the game within the game. You're going to have Wick Grosbeck and Bill Chisholm up on the podium with Adam Silver. And we're going to be debating whether or not Tatum or Brown should have won MVP. And then they're going to be like, and now let's hand it to the Celtics. And Bill's going to go for it. Wick's going to go for it. It's going to be very strange. They're going to like both have a hand on it.
Brawling and falling off the podium.
They're kind of like pulling it. Like, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you.
They're going to lady on the trumpet.
A little bit.
Right to the middle.
Yeah.
Just
give it to Missoula.
I can't believe. Someone popped their head in here earlier today and said, Wick's going to be the one to get the trophy.
Yeah.
I can't believe Wick's going to say, you just paid me and my daddy and my brothers and sisters, my siblings, you paid us $6 billion. I'm going to snatch the trophy before you, but maybe.
But we don't know anything about Chisholm as far as, like, some owners are like...
He has an encyclopedic knowledge of the Celtics, Keith. Don't say we don't know.
No, we know that. Yeah. And he watches every game. Yeah. So that's sweet. But owners in sports, like, there are some that want it to be all about them. Like, put me on TV, show me on TV, make sure you know that I'm on TV. Then there are others. Literally, the owner of the Celtics had his son pretend to be the owner for years, right? Like, he did not want to be a part. Irv was not grabbing the trophy. So I have no idea if Bill Chisholm's one of those guys. Like, is he like a me first guy, or is he like a, I'll let the team do it.
Let's see. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on Celtics ownership. We'll get to more on Garrett Crochet with Rob Bradford coming up. And Stephon Diggs visiting the Patriots. Both Keith and I smell a rat on this. I don't think they're going to sign him. I'd hold my nose and sign him. The Patriots are being wildly inconsistent with it. Ray in Boston wants to jump in on that. Go ahead, Ray.
Hey, guys. And again, nobody at WEI has done this, but can these Boston writers please stop? Every time we're in on a player, as soon as the player signs somewhere else, they immediately run to Twitter and start bad-mouthing the guy. Oh, terrible guy. Locker room cancer.
Debo was fat. DK was a bad teammate. Cooper Kupp is what? No, I know exactly what you're talking about, right? Yep.
Mm-hmm. Dude, these players have families. Like, they have 14-year-old kids on Twitter, and we just look like buffoons. Like, that guy's a piece of garbage. We didn't even want him. It's like, okay. Dad, what are they saying about you, Drew? Okay, well, like, you think free agents are going to want to
I'm not so worried about their kids.
You're losing me, right? Life's tough. Wear a helmet.
Yeah, don't harass anybody's kids or anything like that.
Well,
but
no.
if you're on there talking bad about their dad, they you know, that's part of the deal of being a professional athlete. But no, there's a lot of bad mouthing the second these guys sign
up. But then there's also the flip side of it, and I don't think it's going to change. And this is media and fans, but then they'll sign a guy, and suddenly he's like better than he is.
Well, so I wanted to read this. This is from Mike Reese.
Okay.
Mike Reese, very, very, very plugged in with the Patriots and has an interesting way of passing on what he knows.
No doubt.
This is tucked in there. He says, I also think Diggs would be a better fit in the locker room than some might believe.
Oh, not me. I think he'd be great.
Yes, there was turbulence in Minnesota and Buffalo. Okay, so at least that's acknowledged.
Okay.
But I've heard positive things from last year in Houston from people that I trust.
Casario, maybe?
I would think for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But is that an indication they're more in than you and I believe? I don't think they're going to sign him. You don't think they're going to sign him.
I think
it's for medical purposes, and I think Diggs needs his name out there. The team probably wants some positive PR, so that's why I smell a rat on this. But Reese saying, actually, you know what? He might not be that bad in the locker room. That makes me think maybe there's more, the door's more ajar than I gave it credit.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, he's definitely kind of painting that picture a little bit. I still go back to our guy, Chad Kraft, when he said when they cut David Andrews, he was like, Garrett Bradbury, right? He like immediately was like, Garrett Bradbury.
Right away.
And then they signed him.
Yep.
And then with this, it was more Diggs is in on a visit. It wasn't like, hey, I think they might sign Diggs, or like they might get Diggs, or like Diggs could go to their receiver room. It was just like he's coming in on a visit. Really meaning like I think they just want everybody to know that free agency's not done. They understand they need a receiver, and they're at least in the market. Like they're still in the market for one, even though they're probably not.
So interesting. A lot going on out there today. Keep it locked on Jones and Keefe, 617-779-7937. We will update the Jones and Keefe March Madness uniform bracket that comes your way at 11:45. We'll check in with Rob Bradford live from Fort Myers. He's still in Fort Myers? Where is Rob today, actually? We'll check in with Rob Bradford, wherever he is, on the latest with the Red Sox, including Sam Kennedy, putting it on Garrett Crochet to be a Boston Red Sox. Red Sox want him. It's up to him if he wants to be a Red Sox. What's up with that? We'll get to it.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Casey Mize deals, and there's a drive to right field hooking toward the corner. It's going to get down for a hit. It should get the tying run home. Myers well on his way to third now as the ball's dug out of the right field corner, and it's a stand-up triple for Meyer, and we're tied at two as he hooked one into the corner.
Marcelo Meyer.
Woo!
Maybe your opening day second baseman. Could be.
Maybe.
Let's see.
We heard the other day it was going to be Christian Campbell.
1 week from today, Jones. Baseball for reals.
Another thing going on, Keith.
I know.
A new Celtics owner.
Good Lord.
Billy Chiz.
Steph Diggs.
Pags is very upset.
Pags is fired up.
Steph Diggs, maybe a Patriot. Red Sox are 7 days away. The bracket's coming up.
Wow.
Well, the games are coming up. Our brackets are out.
Bruins play tonight.
Good stuff there.
Can't have everything.
Joining us here is Rob Bradford, live from Fort Myers. He is brought to you by a variety of great sponsors. We'll get that for you coming up. But Bradford, how you doing here today?
Oh, my goodness. So good, McFarland, to all of you. Just a preemptive strike, McFarland. Yes. What a day. What a day. What a day to be alive.
Woo.
Yes. By the way, I have baseballs and boring hats for you guys when I get back.
Nice. Oh, hell yeah.
This came in.
Do you have one big enough for Keith's giant dome over there? Right. You sure?
Not necessary.
As someone with a humongous dome, yes, I've test-ridden all of these hats, so ready to go, ready to go.
Wait a minute, you've worn this hat that I'm wearing?
You're like hand-me-down? You're like chicken guy wearing my hat.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, I'm like the test dummy for him. I walk around, yeah. So okay. In that clip, I'm shocked when you have that Marcel Meyer clip of Joe having an expert call Hall of Fame Joe Castiglione that I didn't implement my trademark this spring is saying in the middle of it, ooh, ooh,
yep,
ooh.
Nice. Yes.
You wouldn't be the only play-by-play guy in the city doing that or color guy doing that. What are the chances that Marcel Meyer ends up being the second baseman? I feel like that hasn't been talked about at all. We were looking at, you know, obviously Christian Campbell, but then Vaughn Grissom, David Hamilton, and then yesterday when you looked at that lineup, you're like, that seems like everybody else and Marcel Meyer at second base. So what kind of chances do you give him there?
It is so weird. I think that other than the Celtics, now that we have the Celtics news in the rear view in terms of ownership, the next big news is the lineup for tonight's game in Hammond Stadium.
Yes.
Because I kind of mean this where we're going to see if this was just a, hey, we're just going to run them out there and give them the world just for future endeavors, or if this is a real thing. Because you get to this point in spring training. This is what I know. You get to this point in spring training, you don't usually just say, hey, we're gonna test a guy at a new position with six exhibition games to go. No, usually all these guys are playing together. You want the guys who are going to be regulars getting their reps, and that's what we thought was going on with Christian Campbell. For the last week and a half, he was being run out as the starting second baseman. Vaughn Grissom was in the backfield or coming in late in the game. We knew that this was going this way. Then all of a sudden, Marcel Meyer, the guy who, as he told us yesterday, had barely worked out at second base at all, had played a couple innings the day before, had certainly never started at second base in his life, but he's in second base with all these other regulars. I don't think you can dismiss it. I don't. I think that there was an element of the team or some people with the team that thought this might be the way to go because Marcel Meyer, of the three guys, was the most comfortable. He looked like a major league player. It's undeniable, his skills and his ability. So why not give him a whirl at second base? And I think that's what we saw yesterday. Like, we saw a guy who can handle the position. It's just bizarre that they're doing this with six exhibition games to go. After, by the way, I went back to the tape a couple of weeks ago where Alex Cora said, no, Marcel Meyer, after he had a big game, Marcel Meyer is going to play third and short. Nah, not second. That was a couple weeks ago.
Jeez.
So, yeah.
Well,
it's wild.
Alex Cora also said Devers is going to get into some spring training games at third base. That's not happening either. Is there any thought to, and I actually heard a caller to WEEI Afternoons bring this up yesterday. I thought it was an interesting point. If they're going to play Meyer in the big leagues, is there any thought to playing him at short and moving Trevor Story to second, who's played second before, or would Story just have no time for that as a big league veteran?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're entrenched the Story is short. And the other thing is, like, Story was a good second baseman. He's a good shortstop. Like, honestly, I could say that Trevor Story right now is a better shortstop than Marcel Meyer. And, you know, you have less room for error maybe if you play Marcel Meyer at second. But I'll come back to it. It's bizarre because, yeah, you know, he can make all the plays. He's a confident fielder. He's a confident player. He's an athletic guy. But there are certain things that are going to crop up that, you know, it would have been nice to work on about 3 weeks ago. It's really, really bizarre. But maybe we show up today and Christian Campbell's starting and he's your starting second baseman. I don't know. I just know this, is that all the spring trainings that I've seen, I don't think I've ever seen anything like this, where this close to opening day that you're integrating someone at a new position like this.
All right, so give me your best guess. Power rank the four second basemen most likely to start opening day to least likely to start opening
day.
The four? Who's the fourth? the guy that got sent down yesterday?
David Hamilton. Oh, yeah, Vaughn Grissom is out. That's true.
Oh, yeah, Vaughn Grissom's out. All right, so just the three then.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if David Hamilton starts on opening day because you're going up against Ovaldi, a righty.
What was all this?
Yeah, sorry. Never mind then.
Well, I mean, I'm just don't shoot the messenger. But, I mean, if you're talking about I love a good power rank. You know, I can power rank the worst 7-Eleven clerks that I've had here in Fort Myers over the last 6 weeks. I would love to do that. Because there's one, and then there's everybody else.
Let's save it for the podcast, Rob.
Yeah, no, I know, but it's—I don't know. I can't help myself. but I will say this: is that I still feel like it's so bizarre. The Meyer thing is so bizarre. Mm. I kind of want to play the safe route and say Christian Campbell. He's looked good defensively. He's going to be exposed offensively. I think more than Meyer would be. But like I said before, I think that they saw how good Meyer has been and will be, and they can't get past that. This guy is more advanced than Christian Campbell right now as a major league player, and I think this is why they're going to run him out there. So ask me this question tomorrow because I have to see who's playing tonight.
Okay. Well, you're not on tomorrow, but next week we'll be sure to ask.
Rob from the car.
WEEI Baseball Isn't Boring podcast joins us every week, every Thursday, Rob, here on Jones and Keefe. You were talking to Sam Kennedy yesterday on the broadcast. We played this clip earlier. You asked him about Garrett Crochet, the extension. It sounds to me, you let me know if you agree with it, it sounds to me like Sam was putting it on Garrett Crochet and his family. If he wants to be in Boston, we're open to signing him right now. It's up to him and his family to sign here. How did you read those comments?
Yeah, I didn't read them like that, really, to be honest with you. I read them as he's saying, yeah, well, he has to be comfortable if he's going to sign a long-term deal. This is what I know about the Garrett Crochet deal. As I wrote the other day, is that he isn't going to negotiate once opening day comes along. Okay, that's step one. So you better get in it on it now. The other thing is that from the team's perspective, if Sam Kennedy said, "Oh, it's up to the family," no, I think it's up to the Red Sox. And it's up to the Red Sox to say, define how they view this extension. Do they view it as a max free deal? Do they view it as a legitimate free agent guy, even though he has 2 years left? Because that's I think probably how Garrett Crochet is viewing it, but the Red Sox might be viewing it as, well, no, he's only got 1 year under his belt. We're going to use this year as a sort of fail-safe year, and then if we have to pay the piper next year, we'll do it. But, so I think Garrett Crochet, I mean, he said this. He said that Boston is the type of place that he was hoping to get traded to because Boston is the place where he can see himself and his family for a long time. He has said this. He said it on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. So with that in mind, it all comes down to, do the Red Sox view Garrett Crochet as a guy who are you willing to give like the Max Fried level, probably more than Max Fried because they have the same agency and all of that, but are they willing to do that, take that leap of faith, even though he has 1 year under his belt, and say, you're our guy for the next, 8 to 10 years? That's what we're going to find out, because if they are, then I think Garrett Crochet likes Boston just fine. His family likes it just fine. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's just either or how the Red Sox view it.
One last one for me. Masataka Yoshida, it sounds like, might start the year on the IL, but with Devers playing DH and them really not wanting Yoshida to even have a glove, what is his role for the season? Is it just $19 million pinch hitter, or what do they envision with him?
Yeah, every time they say nice things about Masa Yoshida, I kind of feel like they're saying nice things to make sure everyone in baseball here, so they're saying nice things about him. Because, as you point out, I don't see the avenue. They can talk all they want about him getting his throwing back and an arm back and playing in the field. Well, that's not what he is. There's a reason why he didn't play there at all last year. He's had a good spring hitting the ball. He can hit the ball. I think he could be a useful player for a major league team. But this Major League team happens to have a DH, and yes, Rafael Devers is their DH, and not a lot of room for wiggle room. I mean, there's just no place for Masayu Yoshida to play. I think in the meantime, they're just going to slow play it until, finally his arm's ready. He'll do a rehab assignment. We'll get him back in May, and then we'll figure it out. But there is absolutely no place right now for Masayu Yoshida to play because Rafael Devers is your DH and Alex Bregman's your third baseman.
Okay. Rob Bradford every Thursday here on Jones and Keefe. You can check him out, weei.com. And Baseball Isn't Boring, the podcast. Latest guest, Northeastern great, my guy, Adam Ottavino.
Oh,
so
all
good,
right.
Good stuff there, Bradfo, for sure.
Yeah, in front of the LLB bootmobile, nonetheless. So
nice.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Nice. So check that out again on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Bradfo, we appreciate it. Thanks so much. Talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Have a good day. I'll talk to you.
Thank you, sir.
Right. Rob Bradford, his weekly visit with Jones and Keefe's, co-sponsored by all these great sponsors I told you about earlier. McFarland Energy, the heating and cooling and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com, by the E.L. Harvey Companies, including Nauset Disposal and Miga Disposal, your local trash collection and recycling providers, and by Aviva Trattoria, Italian-inspired, locally made from fresh, whole, locally sourced ingredients. Our thanks to Bradfo. We'll talk to him next week on opening day, right? We'll have him on opening day.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Yeah, nice.
Pretty good.
Don't know why I just connected those dots, but I did. Real quick.
We're 1 week out. Yeah, what?
A headline here, uh-huh. And then we'll update the Jones and Keefe bracket coming up on a busy, busy day.
Sure.
The Celtics are actually being sold, according to Axios, for $7.3
billion. I'm sorry, what?
So I told you earlier about Sixth Street is kicking in an extra billion on this deal. I guess I assume that was...
Oh, that's on top of the reported 6.1?
Well, here's how Axios is reporting it. The Celtics have agreed, this is Dan Primack of Axios, the Celtics have agreed to be sold to private equity investor Bill Chisholm for an initial $6.1 billion, with the final valuation to reach $7.3 billion. Axios has learned from sources familiar with the situation.
Wow.
It's the most ever for a professional sports team in North America, blah, 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 blah. It's made even more remarkable because the Celtics don't own their arena.
No, they do not.
And have one of the league's highest payrolls, so they cite that. The deal is split into two parts. The initial purchase this summer of a majority stake is at a $6.1 billion valuation. The rest is expected to be valued at a whopping 7.3%. So 51% is valued at 6.1. The other 49% is at $7.3 billion.
Holy mackerel.
Also participating is Sixth Street Partners, which we told you earlier. They own part of the Spurs. They own part of FC Barcelona, Real Madrid. I guess earlier this week, and I didn't know this, they agreed to acquire 10% of the San Francisco Giants as well. And
that?
Now they're buying in on the Boston Celtics. So there you go. It's according to Axios, it's actually over $7 billion for the Boston Celtics. 617-779-7937. More on that. You can still vote at Jones and Keefe in the March Madness uniform bracket. We do have a Cinderella story into the Sweet 16, which starts tomorrow. We'll update all of that with all the latest news coming up next. We'll update the Jones and Keefe March Madness uniform bracket. Four matchups left in round two. Sweet 16 starts tomorrow here on WEEI. Just a few more items in that Axios story, which is very interesting. The valuation.
I was going to say, on a normal day, the uniform bracket might be the top story.
Might be the lead.
Might
today.
Be the start of the show. It's been buried by like five, six things.
It has. We kind of wanted to start with that. Then the Steph Diggs visit happened last night, and it's like, well, I guess we'll bump
Steph Diggs
to the top of top of the news cycle, and then the Celtics sale happened earlier today. We will, if you missed our brackets, we'll replay those for you coming up as we put it on the clock. My bracket, Keith's bracket, who do we have cutting down the nets? One of us went chalk, the other did not. So stay tuned for that. You'll still have time to make your picks coming up in just a little bit. But Axios says the Celtics sale is actually closer to $7.3
billion
compared to the $6.1 billion reported earlier today. So when Pagliuca says they feel they had the best bid, I find that to be real hard to believe.
$8 billion?
So $6.1 billion is for the first 51%. The valuation for the remaining 49% is going to be $7.3 billion, according to Dan Primack, Axios. Okay?
Okay.
He also writes deeper in that piece, and I meant to mention this before we went to break. Pagliuca was among those bidding for the controlling stake, and he's very, very angry about it. We read you the statement earlier today. It's doubtful he'll roll over his position. So that other 49%, I'm imagining, is going to get sold. Whether that's 2028 or whenever, and Axios does not expect Pagliuca to be around. It didn't sound that way from his statement. They also
mentioned in a statement.
Rob Hale is said to be participating. That's been reported a couple of different places. So there you go.
Yeah, so Wick's sticking around for a little bit. Rob Hale going to be a part of this. Steve Pagliuca is not. And I can't say that's surprising, right? If you're bidding to become the majority owner, and it's almost like you're waiting your time, you've been a part of this ownership group for a really long time, and then you go all in, you make what you think is the best offer, and you don't get it. Like, I'll work with the other guy. Like, I don't think so.
Doesn't feel that way.
No. And plus, when you're in that kind of world, he'll probably go buy another team. Like, he already has a soccer team. Like, maybe he'll get in line for the next wave. They've ever an expansion team in Vegas. Or, like, who knows?
No, that's a good point, you know. And I'd imagine John Henry would be lining up for that as well. But, yeah, I mean, maybe he gets in on another another team because he got beat out on this one. He got beat out on the last one. He lost out to the Grosbecks on the last one.
Yeah.
And he lost out again. So Pag's not happy about it. More thoughts on the Celtics sale coming out, Steph Diggs, his visit, all that good stuff coming up. In the meantime, Jones and Keith Brackett, the real important stuff.
Let's get to it.
We had four more matchups yesterday. The Buccaneers in their creamsicle uniforms.
That's a nice uniform.
The three seed. They advanced 69
nice.
To 31 over nice. The Broncos Orange Crush. Baseball region, we have a Cinderella story, Keith. The number 14 Orioles, the Smiling Birds.
That's a good uniform. They you got to take the whole thing into account. A good hat, the whole nine.
They advance over the number six-seeded Astros, 50.1 to 49.9. Voting is closed.
Wow.
Exceptionally close voting, but we have a 14 seed into the Sweet 16. The Raptors, the number three seed in the basketball region, won yesterday. The Damon Stoudemire.
Yeah, that's just a beauty.
They took down Thunder Dan Majerle in a walkover. I think voting is still open. It is, and it's very, very close.
Bruins. Too close to call.
Bruins and the 90s Sharks are up right now. It is a 6 seed and a 3 seed. You actually still technically have time to vote there. Bruins leading by a hair.
Wow.
But people like those teals, and they like the 90s.
People like the Boston teams also.
That's
we've noticed.
Unfortunately,
yep.
Also true. So four more matchups up for you today. You can vote in the hockey region. It is the number 2 seeded Mighty Ducks in the 90s versus the number 7 Sabres. They're classics. We saw those
we
the other night
at
the Garden, Keith.
Monday night. They were live and in color.
Those things pop.
Yeah.
We got the 90s Devil Rays in the baseball region. The
it's a beauty. And Billy picked a great photo modeled by the
Jose
one and only
Canseco.
Jose Canseco.
They are losing out to the Braves classics, the Blues with the lowercase a, which yeah, I know you have an affinity for.
I do like that one. That's a good color scheme for the Braves. It's written in cursive on the jersey. I like both, actually, the lowercase a and the one that they normally wear. Braves have good uniforms.
They yeah. do for sure. So the Braves are winning in that one. It's early.
Yeah.
Pat Patriot is the 2 seed in the football region. Florida State was an upset number 10 seed. They're getting smoked by Patriot right now.
And I like Florida State's uniforms, but this is the one of the four Boston teams that should go on a run.
They're the most deserving.
Yeah.
I agree with that. And then our final matchup, which has not been tweeted out yet. It will be shortly at Jones and Keefe on Twitter. You can see the full bracket on Instagram and Twitter at Jones and Keefe. It'll be the Sonics against the Purple Mountain Utah Jazz.
Sonics. I got to go Sonics.
Probably. The Jazz are my own submission. Probably Sonics.
Yeah.
Probably
what
that
would be.
It's
just a good uniform.
So we'll continue
to update that. And
that would,
again, go back to the theme of the teams that don't even exist anymore are going on long runs.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Throw the Sonics on that list.
The Whale.
Expos.
Yeah. Good point. Whole bunch of those teams. Mm-hmm. So, again, at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. You can vote there. You can see the full bracket. Go do that. We're on to the Sweet 16 tomorrow. Speaking of the bracket, we'll put our brackets back on the clock if you missed them earlier. All the last second tips to fill out your bracket, your bets, if you haven't done that yet. Stay tuned for it and the latest on the Celtics sale to William Chisholm, Bill Chisholm, the new owner of the Boston Celtics. Pagliuca not happy. All of that next.